Jedes Jahr geht auf der Welt fruchtbarer Boden verloren durch Wüstenbildung. Man nennt es in Fachsprech Desertifikation. Man schätzt, bis zu 12 Millionen Hektar sind das jedes Jahr. Das entspricht ungefähr der gesamten Ackerfläche von Deutschland. Besonders problematisch ist die Situation zum Beispiel in Afrika. Da sind ohnehin schon rund 60% der Landfläche Wüste oder Trockengebiet. Antje Diekans erzählt uns jetzt mehr.
Der Mauwald in Kenia war früher die grüne Lunge des Landes. 12 Flüsse entspringen hier, die viele Regionen mit Wasser versorgen, wenn sie nicht gerade wieder ausgetrocknet sind. Denn weil etwa ein Drittel der Bäume im Wald abgeholzt wurde, bilden sich über ihm nicht mehr so viele Regenwolken wie früher. Ein selbst herbeigeführter Klimawandel. Die Gegend ist zwar noch weit davon entfernt, eine Wüste zu werden, aber sie ist längst nicht mehr so grün wie früher. In anderen Gebieten Afrikas schreitet die sogenannte Desertifikation schneller voran. Weltweit, so schätzen Experten der UN-Konvention zur Bekämpfung der Wüstenbildung, werden jedes Jahr etwa 12 Millionen Hektar Grün zu Trockengebieten. Das entspricht der gesamten Ackerfläche Deutschlands. Die Folgen sind vielfältig. Die Landwirtschaft bringt keine Erträge mehr, Viehherden verenden, wenn kein Futter da ist. Oft führt die Austrocknung der Böden zu einem Teufelskreislauf. Die Menschen schlagen die letzten verbleibenden Bäume, um wenigstens sie verwerten zu können. Dadurch wird die Erosion noch vorangetrieben und fruchtbares Erdreich vom Wind davongeweht. Auch falsche Bewässerungsmethoden gelten als Ursache der Wüstenbildung, genauso wie die Überweidung vieler Ackerflächen.
Antje Diekans über die fortschreitende Desertifikation in Afrika. Jemand, der sich mit dem Problem auskennt, ist Alan Savory, Biologe aus Simbabwe. Mittlerweile lebt er in New Mexico und er forscht seit gut einigen Jahrzehnten auf dem Gebiet des sogenannten Holistic Management, so nennt er das selber. Es geht ihm da um einen ganzheitlichen Angang des Problems und Savory vertritt einen recht radikalen Ansatz, den er uns jetzt erklärt, auf Englisch. Dazu müssen wir wissen, als eine der Hauptursachen für die Desertifikation wird die Überweidung durch große Viehherden, Livestock, angesehen. Und Savory sagt aber im Gegenteil, Vieh auf den Flächen verhindert die Wüstenbildung. Und er erklärt uns jetzt, warum.
Well, because overgrazing is not what causes it. We were all brought up on that. But as I showed in a recent TED talk, national parks here in the United States in seasonal rainfall that have had no livestock grazing for over 70 years are desertifying as badly as anything in Africa. So our research plots, that where all grazing has been excluded for 70 years, desertifying very seriously, and that shows that overgrazing was not what was causing it.
Talking about organized herding, how does it exactly work? You could just explain some kind of plan to us.
Well, in the herding, which we're doing on the Zimbabwe project, which is our main, really most advanced project anywhere, we herd the animals every day in a fairly tight bunch. So there's about 500 cattle and varying numbers of sheep and goats all in one herd. And they are handled very calmly with low stress handling, as we call it, moving to the plan, but always on less than half a hectare or maybe half a hectare of land and fairly concentrated as predators would have kept them in the past. And then we know 6 months or more where exactly they'll be, and we minimize overgrazing by constantly moving them, and we get most of the response of making the rainfall more effective, which reverses the desertification. We get most of that from the hooves of the animals. That's what we learned from the rested land in America, that we're over-resting the land while we were blaming the overgrazing of plants. So by keeping the animals concentrated like that, we stop the overresting of the land. And it's really simple like gardening. The hoof action, breaking soil surfaces, the dung, the urine, the litter laying, just like gardening, makes the rainfall stay in the soil, not evaporate out, less runoff, more effective rain, and it just grows lots more plants. So this year, we're in quite a serious drought. But you wouldn't know it at all, other than the fact that our river is drier than we've known for 15 years. But with a severe drop in the rainfall, we're still going to have to double up the cattle numbers this year just to try to keep pace with the production of grass and shrubs and forbs and trees, everything is just now growing better.
So just to make it clear to us, there are three important aspects, as far as I understood you. It's what you might call the lawn mowing, which has been done by the animals. Then you have the animal excrements, and you have the movement of the hooves of the animals. These are the important things that have to happen.
Yes, I would just take out the lawn mowing. We don't mow it. That's a misconception that you force the animals to graze. We just concentrate on getting the high animal impact. So maximum density of animals, minimum time, and constantly moving. And the key to the success is the planning process.
So what made you think that actually taking away the animals is causing the problem?
It's because when you take away the animals, the grass plants that grow cannot graze themselves. And when the rains are over in seasonal humidity environments, the grass plants standing in sunlight oxidize. And that's a very slow breakdown, and it leads to smothering the growth points of the plants and killing them. And we were blaming overgrazing. But the plants were, in many instances, killing themselves. And to prevent that, we were burning. That kept the plants alive, but it exposed the soil, and the rainfall largely evaporated out of bare soils. So we constantly were getting man-made droughts. And you can't use fire, and you can't rest the land. They both lead to desertification in those environments. And so the only thing we were left with that could possibly reverse it was livestock.
So now we could say that's all theory, but in your case, it's not. As you already said, you tried your principles a few decades ago already, and you have proof that it does work. Can you give an example, like you've been talking about the Zimbabwe project? What are you doing there?
Well, there we had severely desertifying land with bare ground all over about 20,000 acres. Sorry, I haven't got that in hectares for you. And today we've literally run out of bare ground, even for teaching purposes. It's getting embarrassing. And there are about 10 spots where we're preserving bare ground for the wildlife by keeping the cattle off because they're essential for the wildlife. Now, we've done that by increasing the livestock 400%, but keeping them in one management herd to the planned grazing all the time. And that's not the only example there. There are hundreds of examples now on four continents.
But as I said, you are practicing your ideas since a few decades now, obviously successfully, and you've been preaching your results for as much as the same time, I suppose. Why is actually nobody listening?
Well, people are listening, but it's always private individuals or academics within universities or people in government agencies in their individual capacity. But institutions have opposed it strongly. So universities, government agencies, environmental organizations have opposed it very strongly because of the beliefs that cattle are causing desertification, while individuals within those organizations have worked very well with me over nearly 50 years now. And that's a common problem. It's happened throughout history where it takes a very long time before institutional acceptance is gained.
So I hear you still have hope.
Oh, it's the only hope I can even imagine for about two-thirds of the world's land. The same things do not apply in a lot of Germany and England and so on, where you have almost perennial humidity. You can use the same techniques, but if you rest the land, you don't get the same desertification occurring. Because in environments like you're probably in, the humidity is sufficient throughout the year for biological decay to break down grasses, even if they're not grazed. But as soon as you get into very seasonal humidity, the opposite happens. And I should say, nothing I'm doing is theory. All that we're doing is entirely 100% practical management.
Alan Savory, Biologe, kämpft seit Jahrzehnten gegen die Desertifikation von Land mit Viehherden. Mehr dazu die radiowissen.de.